There are some justice-related matters, and as you may know, I chair the Justice Committee. I have that privilege of doing so. The behavioral health initiatives matter to me a great deal. I think the county is considered to be a leader in that area in the state. There may be even some national recognition, although it's not in the headlines. It's not that kind of recognition. But the combination of behavioral health initiatives and, in particular, addressing behavioral health matters in the jail, that's where a combination, where a confluence comes together of justice and behavioral health. The Justice Committee generally oversees the jail in a somewhat distant way. But because I chair the Justice Committee and I've been interested in justice issues all the time I've been on the board, those are matters that pique my interest and want to keep me going.
Distinguish yourself from your opponent. How would you frame the race?
I like to think that I've got a record of, first of all, experience. And that's not to say that someone couldn't gain experience, but I already have it. Building on experience is a pattern of established relationships with other members of the county board and with county staff. I know those folks. They know me. And I think I have a record of demonstrated effectiveness, and I'm very proud of that record. I've been able to work, I believe, in an effectively bipartisan manner. That's important for a Democrat on a majority Republican county board. I've been on the county board for over 20 years, and all the time, Republicans have been in the majority. And for most of that time, I think I've worked well with other members, regardless of party. The board is not particularly partisan between elections.
It has become more so in recent years, however.
I think that is true.
How do you see yourself responding to that increased partisan pressure on both sides?
Basically trying to continue to operate in a bipartisan manner, talking and listening carefully to other members of the board, playing things straight. I think I have a reputation for honesty, and I have certainly tried to promote that and live up to it. If I am straightforward with other Democrats, if I'm straightforward with Republicans, I'd like to think they're taking me at my word. They have to feel that they can do that. That's the sort of thing that helps to bridge partisan divides. And I've tried to operate in a manner that where I'm addressing questions on the merits as I see them, not to personalize and not to make things partisan. If I can apply some brakes, B-R-A-K-E-S, if I can put on the brakes or help to put on the brakes in the movement toward greater partisanship, that's a role that I like to play. That's a role that I enjoy playing.
Republican County Board Vice Chair Jim Soldner is proposing a creation of partisan caucuses to allow the two parties to hash out their respective positions on things that come before the county board, and to have a way to meet the Open Meetings Act requirements while meeting in larger groups than ones and twos. How do you stand on that? Is that going to be, continuing the theme of partisanship here, is that going to be a net gain or a net detraction from the dynamic of the board?
I'm uncomfortable with it. To meet the Open Meetings Act requirements, first of all, the meetings have to be open. Secondly, minutes have to be taken. And the point of a partisan caucus would be to have fellow partisans get together. If they are open meetings, there's no guarantee of that, either for the Republicans or for the Democrats. Meetings in ones and twos, I think, has been a perfectly fine way to go about it, and I would personally prefer to see it stay that way.
Do you predict it will pass or fail?
If I had to guess right now, I would say it's more likely to pass than to fail. But I'm not sure of that, because I'm rather certain that not all Democrats favor it, and I'm also equally certain that not all Republicans favor it, which means we are going to once again have a vote when if it comes to a vote.
A bipartisan vote.
We almost do nothing else. I've been on the county board for over 20 years, and I believe, if my memory serves me right, that we have had a total of two straight party line votes in all that time, and both of them were in the last 2 years.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with George Gordon, a candidate for McLean County Board who has a primary opponent, Hannah Beer, an ISU student who has proved to be hard to get to submit to an interview and has refused to participate in a county board candidates forum because of her student life candidate balance, unquote. In the last 2 years of the Rauner administration, the network of not-for-profit human service agencies in the state became tattered and frayed. Many went under. It has not recovered. Funding is not likely to recover for those agencies, even with the prospect of a progressive income tax, because a lot of that will be earmarked for pension and for education. So describe to me your view of how the county is going to navigate the way forward in the community for a tattered network of human services.
The county has its own financial difficulties, and the county has tried over the years to work in collaboration with as many other organizations, not-for-profits, as possible. But whether the county can be a stimulus or a catalyst for increased funding, I think is questionable, because of the county's financial situation. Not that the county is in desperate shape, but we don't have a lot of money to spare. Collaboration might be a way to begin to pick up the slack. Organizations could turn to the county for collaborative programs that might be funded through public funds, might be financed through public funds. But whether the county can step in and go a long way toward making up the difference, I think that's doubtful. But I do think that there are some initiatives that the county is involved with, particularly in the behavioral health area, where there has been intergovernmental funding from higher levels, especially the national government. We have, as you may know, recently received a 3-year grant for a youth triage program. That's just getting started. Now, that addresses one small piece of the puzzle, but youth behavioral health is an important component of what the county has been trying to achieve in the general behavioral health area. And this is a step in the right direction that could involve others in the county, not-for-profits in particular.
What I'm hearing is that the county's marker is firmly on behavioral health, and you don't think there's a lot of extra capacity to do other things like prison reacclimation or domestic violence or other kinds of human services or anti-suicide efforts, that those will have to be handled elsewhere than the county level.
The county is certainly interested in pitching in if we possibly can. What the budget lines say at this point, I don't know for certain. And of course, we are already into 2020. Our fiscal year, as you know, is the calendar year. And we're not very far into the new fiscal year, but we're already looking down the road to 2021. I won't say there are no possibilities, because I don't think that's right. But they would have to be explored pretty carefully to make certain that other entities and the county strike the kind of sharing of responsibility, strike the balance in sharing responsibility for both administration of programs, implementation of programs, and the financing.
One of the areas of service to the community that the county has historically had is the McLean County Nursing Home. There was, more than a year ago, a little bit of a flap and a debate over the future of the nursing home, because it was not only losing money, but it was losing a significant amount of money. The consensus of the board at that time was that, yes, this is a community service that the county should continue to bear, but we're going to try and improve matters so that it doesn't run quite as much red ink. It is still running red ink. It is a work in progress. Do you have a better sense of what level of property tax subsidy the nursing home should receive, that you would be comfortable in it receiving on an annual basis?
If you're talking about increasing property taxes in order to help make the nursing home sustainable.
No, I'm not asking that.
Oh, okay.
What is an acceptable level of red ink?
Whatever level it is, it better be shrinking. That's the beginning of an answer, but it's not the whole answer by any means. We had, as you know, a blue ribbon panel appointed by Board Chairman McIntyre of people who have expertise in the nursing home business, if you will, They made some very good recommendations. Some have been acted on. Some, unfortunately, we're not in a position to act on because some of the agreements that need to be made have not yet been finalized.
Still a work in progress.
It is still very much a work in progress. The red ink is a real concern. For me, the nursing home is an important component of our general public health effort, if you will. It is a public nursing home. I want it to remain open. I want it to remain public. And I want it to remain sustainable. To remain sustainable, first of all, you have to get to that point. The McLean County Nursing Home is one of perhaps two in the county that accepts Medicaid patients. And those are the most vulnerable folks when it comes to their health as they age that you can possibly think of. And for the nursing home to not be in a position to accept Medicaid patients or for county Medicaid patients to have to look elsewhere, I think would be utterly unacceptable.
There's a very limited number of Medicaid beds other than the McLean County Nursing Home. So those folks would die without the McLean County Nursing Home. They would die quicker, rather.
Yeah, I'm afraid that's right. For what we have to do, we need to be thinking not only of the Medicaid patients, but the general level of care, which at the nursing home is very good. It's one of the better rated. It's one of the best rated nursing homes in the county. It's one of the best kept secrets in McLean County, unfortunately. But we need to pay attention. We need to act on as many of the recommendations as possible from the Blue Ribbon Panel because some have already paid off.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker with a candidate's interview with longtime McLean County board member George Gordon. It has been a foundational policy of the board directed to staff to hold property tax rates as steady as possible and perhaps even seek opportunities when available for the rate to go down and to rely on increases in property values to fund any increases in revenue for the county. It has been that policy for at least a couple of decades now. Do you see that ever changing? Would you support a change to that?
Let me take those in order. Do I see that possibly changing? Yes.
Why?
I think there is recognition among members of the county board, and I'm confident in saying on both sides of the partisan aisle, there's recognition that meeting our service obligations is a top priority. Trying to hold the line on property taxes, I think, has been at least an equal priority, maybe higher. But as we continue down the road with new problems emerging, new dimensions of continuing problems emerging, we may have to think seriously about not holding the line absolutely. Any time that equalized assessed valuation of property increases, you know, it puts us in a better position. We don't have to change the rate. We don't have to increase the rate. There was at least one year, and I think there were 2 years recently, where the EAV either was thought to be on its way down, or in 1 year it did go down. We had some real concerns about that. We had some concerns in meeting our financial obligations, and some of those are contracts, so you have to meet them. But that trend line curved back upward, and we're very fortunate in this part of the state that trend appears to be a better prospect than the reverse. Now, whether I would support an increase in property taxes, I think the case would have to be made persuasively, but I certainly am willing to listen to that case.
To contextualize it for listeners, the major property tax eater in the community, in any community, is our school districts. Yeah. How much of an increase, what sort of range would be impermissible? I'm not asking you for a firm, yes, I would go up to X, but what X would be too much?
I think if we approached a double figures percentage proposed increase, 10%, 8 or 9%.
That would be a tough lift.
That would be a tough lift. I think it would be a tough lift for the county board as a whole. I think it would even be a tough lift for me. And I am more receptive to the prospect of adjusting taxes upward, in other words, raising taxes, in order to meet our service obligations and the needs of the citizens, perhaps, than some other members of the board. Someone once said to me, another member of the county board happened to be a Democrat, all of us have to be at least fiscally prudent, if not conservative, these days. There are limits on what we can ask of our citizens. state taxation is there, federal taxation is there, other local units such as the school districts. I think all members of the county board are very well aware of the context in which we operate. But maybe a 2 to 3% increase, if that were to be judged enough to meet our obligations, again, I would be more than willing to listen to the case for that and to engage in conversation with other members of the board and find out where they're coming from.
You alluded to increasing demands for service that the community faces. What are those and what are the county's role in filling those?
How long do you have? One of the needs in the county is directly related to a simple fact. We are the largest land area county in the state of Illinois.
We are Rhode Island.
We're not as well off as Rhode Island.
In square mileage, though.
In square mileage, yeah. It's an amazing thing to be able to say that, to have to say that. I refer to the size partly with the sheriff's department in mind. Patrolling rural roads. Crime control in rural McLean County is a situation that we have faced certainly for all the years that I've been on the board and for years before that. We didn't get any smaller or any bigger. We've been this size for a long time. The sheriff's department faces some particular challenges in having enough deputies, enough cars to adequately cover the rural areas of the county. And there are obviously different kinds of crime. Violent crime in the county is not in the rural county is not particularly prevalent, but there are drug related situations. Even though recreational cannabis is now legal in the state of Illinois, that doesn't change the fact that there are violations of existing law, no matter what the law is, and the sheriff's department faces challenges just because of the size of the county. Behavioral health is another area. At the same time, I think that the county has taken up a lot of the burden that was there. With behavioral health, it seems to me that the burden is being redefined fairly constantly, so that what wasn't called a problem 10 years ago is now regarded as at least a public policy challenge that the county is part of responding to. And if that continues, if that kind of redefinition of patterns of behavior 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago, X wasn't a problem, now we are seeing it as more of a difficulty. Opioids come to mind immediately. Those sorts of things, I think, are going to continue. That kind of pattern of redefining what is or is not a government problem or a public problem that governments may need to respond to. If that continues, and I think it's probably going to, then our challenges are going to continue to proliferate.
George Gordon is the incumbent Democratic McLean County Board member in District 6, representing a portion of Normal. His opponent is ISU student Hannah Beer, and the election is March 17th. Member Gordon, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Charlie.